And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Ships That Never Sailed. I shall read from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, at verse 48. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee that it is our privilege to voice the gospel, the truth, the Bible, over this radio station. And we would pray today for every listener, wherever they might be, those who are traveling across the city, those who are in the hospitals or in the rest homes, those who have particular needs and burdens and problems today. It would be our prayer that this broadcast might bring a new opening for them, a new beginning for their lives, those who are lost that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. We pray that Thou wouldst use every word and every thought to bring honor and glory to Christ, because we ask these things in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22 and verse 48. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geba. Jehoshaphat is an unusual man. His story is the story of a man who had dreams. Unlike many of us, he didn't sit around idly waiting for his dreams to come true. Jehoshaphat was industrious. He was ambitious. Therefore, he got busy and built a ship. In fact, the Bible says he built a whole fleet of ships. And the ships of Jehoshaphat were strong ships. They were stout. They were swift. They were safe. And they were seaworthy. These ships had a definite commission. Jehoshaphat commissioned the ships of his fleet for a voyage to the country of Ophir to bring back gold. But the tragedy of his venture is spelled out in these words from my text. But they went not. In other words, the ships of Jehoshaphat never sailed. The text says the ships were broken at Ezion-Geba. In other words, Jehoshaphat's deal ended in shipwreck, and his ships never sailed. Jehoshaphat is not the only man to have his ambition smashed upon the rocks. The shoreline of history is lined with ships that never sailed. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone this moment who in your own heart and in your own mind, you've built a ship. You've had a plan. You've had a program. You've had an ambition. You've had an idea. You've had a dream. But it seems that your ship never sailed. I trust that as you listen to this broadcast today, there would be a renewed dedication of your life to Christ, and that you would rebuild the ship of your life and launch it upon the sea of God's mercy and God's grace and watch it sail in these days of 1974. Let us consider some of the men in the Bible who built ships that never sailed. First of all, let us consider Absalom. Absalom was the son of King David, the king of Israel. He was a handsome man. He was young and vibrant. He was ambitious. He was industrious. And Absalom, in a figurative sense, built a ship. I call it the ship of ambition. Absalom wanted to sit on the throne of his father David. He wanted to be in the saddle, so to speak. He wanted to be king. He wanted to be the number one man in Israel. He schemed a long time for it. And the dirty coward, the Bible says, stole the hearts of the people from King David. What a treacherous thing for a man to do, to steal the hearts of the people of his own kingdom. the kingdom of his father David. All of this is written in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 15. And the writer says that Absalom stole the love of the hearts of King David's people. Absalom thought he had stacked his cards well. He left nothing undone in his diabolical scheme to unseat his father. He thought his coup d'etat was waterproof. Even Absalom went so far as to get the promise of help from his father's trusted aides within the kingdom. It looked like a sure thing, but his bucket had a hole in it, and Absalom's ship ran aground in the forest of Ephraim and never sailed. Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 18 that while Absalom was out riding his mule, leading his revolt against his father David, that his head was caught in a low-lying tree, or the limb of a low-lying tree, and there he hanged. And it was not until Joab came and put three darts in his heart that he died. Absalom's ship never sailed. It's a dangerous thing to try to revolt against the king. Our king is Jesus, and it is a fatal thing for any man to rise up in revolt against the Son of God. The ship of Absalom that never sailed became his ruination. It became his damnation. It was destined to sink. And so is the ship that you're building today. If you're leaving Christ out of your life, or if you're rebelling against God and against God's will and God's way for your life, your ship is going to sink. It will never sail. How quickly fortune changes. In the morning, fortune is on the throne. In the evening, it's on the scaffold. And Absalom learned too late that it is a futile attempt to try to revolt against God's program and God's man. Yes, Absalom built a ship, but his ship never sailed. What shall I say about the man named Haman in the Bible? In the book of Esther, we read his story. Haman was a shipbuilder. In a sense, he built a ship that I call the ship of jealousy. And jealousy is one of the most terrible sins mentioned in the Bible. Haman was jealous of Mordecai and the Jews. Mordecai was getting more attention than Haman was from the king. And Haman could not stand it. He was so jealous that he built a gallows upon which he hoped to hang the Jew Mordecai. So we might say that his ship was in the form of a gallows, the ship of jealousy, a ship that never sailed, a ship that turned out to be the very instrument of Haman's death. So many people today are formulating plans that will end in their own ruination, in their own judgment, in their own death, in their own damnation. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end of Haman's way was death. And when Haman would have destroyed the whole nation of the Jews, and would have destroyed Mordecai, God stepped in, and God prevented the plan of jealous Haman. And the Bible tells us that they hanged Haman on his own gallows. And the moral of this story is, be careful, the gallows you build may be your own. That is another ship that never sailed. You know, Jesus knew a man in the New Testament who built a ship that never sailed. This man is called a rich fool. This man had everything going his way. Like some of you listening to this broadcast, you think you have everything going your way. But wait, you best stop and take inventory. Let me repeat the words of the wise Solomon. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The rich man thought he was sitting on top of the world. Why, he couldn't build barns fast enough to store his harvest. He didn't know what to do with all of his profits and with all of his assets. He had an idea that he could make money. He had an idea that he could build himself an empire. He had an idea that he could bring the world to his doorstep. He planned for bigger barns. Listen to his own words. I will tear down these barns, and I will build bigger barns, and I will store all of my goods up, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods and many days. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what was wrong with the rich fool? He had eye problems. And I don't mean the kind that can be corrected by glasses either. This man was an egotist. He was a fool. By the way, you've heard that definition, I'm sure, of egotism. I think it's so fitting at this point. Someone has said that egotism is a hypodermic that God allows a man to administer to himself to deaden the pain of being a fool. This rich man, who thought he could build bigger barns and in so doing live a long time, proved to be a fool. He decided to take life easy. He built a ship in his daydreams, but the ship became a monster in his nightmare. I call his ship the ship of greed. And the tragedy of it all is this: his ship never sailed. It sank upon the rock of his own selfishness. Many a person today is building a ship of greed and lust and sin and selfishness, and that ship is not going to sail, mister. It's destined to sink. You see, the rich man planned for a long, pleasure-filled life. He thought he was going to live a long time, but he did not reckon with the grim enemy of death. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. What an awesome thought. You are going to die. Oh, you say, but preacher, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm strong. I just got back from the doctor, and the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. Well, I'm certain that this man thought he had a clean bill of health. I'm sure he thought he was going to live a long time. But the Bible says that night he was summoned to eternity and his ship met disaster. The Bible reads like this: Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be? Let me ask you a question. When you're gone, who's going to drive your car? Who's going to live in your house? Who's going to eat at your table? Who's going to operate your business? Don't worry, mister, somebody will. As soon as you're gone, somebody is going to take over. The rich man thought nobody could take over for him because he thought he was going to live a long time. But no, the rich man died that night, and in disaster, his ship went down to judgment. What about you? What about your life? What about the ship that you're building? Will it ever sail? You know, we get in a habit of making plans, and then we ask God to approve them. What we ought to do is, first of all, seek God's wisdom and counsel and guidance before we build our ships. The Scotch poet Bobby Burns once said, and I quote, "The best laid plans of men and mice often go awry." Someone else said, and I quote, "There's many a slip between the cup and the lip." Don't be too sure, mister, about your ships. Are you making plans without God? Do you have it all figured out? What you're going to do? When you're going to do it? How you're going to do it? And where you're going to do it? You best stop a moment and take God into your plans. If you think you've got it all figured out and you're on top of the world and your ship is unsinkable, maybe God is directing this message today just to you. I remind you that men who are bigger and more clever than you are have built ships that never sail. If you're planning marriage, you better include Christ in your plans. If you're planning to go to school, you'd better include Christ in your plans. If you're planning to go on a business venture, you best include Christ in your plans of business. For you see, if you build a ship without Christ, it's going to sail. It's going to sink. It'll never sail. Whoever you are, however good a shipbuilder you are, and whatever kind of ship you build, if the blessed Jesus is not your captain, it will never sail, but will end in tragic shipwreck. Look around you. The floor of life's ocean is strewn with ships that never sail. I have a footnote, and I shall soon be through. While many ships never sail, there is one ship that will never sink. And I'm speaking now of the gospel ship. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the captain of this ship, and you ought to be aboard. Jesus Christ is guiding the ship of life over the treacherous ocean, and only Christ can bring the ship to yonder's harbor. This ship is sailing under the banner of the cross. If you're ever going to get to heaven, if you're going to get there to live forever with Christ and all the saints of all the ages, you're going to have to go by the way of the cross. You're going to have to go by the shed blood of Christ upon Calvary's cruel cross. You're going to have to build your ship and make Jesus Christ the captain, the Lord, the master of your life. You see, the gospel ship is headed for heaven. The gospel ship will never sink. It will carry you over the uneven path of the ocean of your life. If you're not on board, you ought to get on board today. Because outside Christ, there's no hope. Outside Christ, there's no salvation. Outside Christ, there's no life. Apart from Him, there is only death and destruction and judgment and annihilation from God and all that's good. If you're not on board, you can get on board today. The captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, is holding the ship for you. He's standing today with outstretched arms. Hear His words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Yes, Captain Jesus is waiting for you. He wants to take you aboard. He wants to give you eternal life through faith in His wonderful name. I admonish you right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, pause this moment. Confess your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you'll be saved. You can get on board. You can be rescued. You can be saved this moment. If you'll simply, by childlike faith, trust and believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and if you'll do it right now, He'll take you aboard the gospel ship, and you'll go sailing through to yonder's distant shore, safe with the Lord Jesus Christ as the captain of your ship. May the Lord bless you as you do it right now. May I say in the closing of the broadcast, we want you to come and share the good things of the Lord with us at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, we are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Come today and enjoy a new dimension in worship in the services of Worth Baptist Church. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.